You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We appreciate everybody tuning in here tonight. The Dynamo will be in action against Minnesota. This is a huge game on Saturday. Excuse me. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Oh, it's a big... It's a big one in the context of getting into the playoffs, and the Dynamo certainly want to get that one taken care of before a couple of more matches. They'll have two more home games after that, one against Sporting Kansas City. They will go to Sporting, and then they'll finish the year against Bastian Schweinsteiger and the Chicago Fire. Let's go back now after a quick word here for the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub with that Irish feel, then the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Get over there. See my buddy Peter. 5555 Morningside. This is in the West University area. You can catch all the best soccer and football matches over there. Get in for a pint and a bite. They got wonderful whiskey offerings over there. Great pub food. Say hello to Peter. It's an open field with a lot of monitors. It's where the Liverpool supporters group hangs out there. TheGorgeousGale.com. GorgeousGale.com. Official Soccer Matters pub. And back with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. So what's sort of the process after these games? I mean, obviously the press conference, Matt, we heard some of Wilmer's thoughts after the game. You know, do you meet with Wilmer after the game? Do both of you guys go home and just kind of process everything? How does it work with a general manager and the manager of the team after the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously that relationship's really important. And I think we both, do a good job of not getting into too detailed of a discussion right after the game, really, you know, reconvening the next day or the early, you know, if we're away on a road trip, the early part of the week when the training week starts, just because, you know, a lot of times when there's so many emotions involved in a game, and I mean, even last night, you know, if you look, I mean, I've been in this game a long time, and some of the stuff I saw from the referee last night was like, you know, it's very emotional. So a lot of times it's what I find is just best to kind of let the dust settle and reconvene the next day and, you know, look at everything in a logical manner. And I think that's an important way that we look to work together.
Matt, now I know there is a lot of attention on Fotis Bazakos last night, and it was bizarre. I mean, there was a lot of confusion. Players, commentators, fans, everybody was confused. Managers, player that should have been sent off, that bizarre play where the goalkeeper handled the ball and the Dynamo don't even get a free kick. I mean, we can go on and on with how confusing it was. That being said, he didn't cost you the game. And
No. There's no – listen, Glenn, and that's the one thing that I – and sorry to interrupt you, but – and I mean, and that's one thing I really – you know, I really do appreciate and respect about Wilmer. I mean, he's not a guy that's about excuses, you know, and I'm the same. And we take accountability. We take accountability. And you know, and that's – you know, we are always the first to look in the mirror, you know, and in saying that, you know, and there's definitely some things that we could have done a lot better last night, you know, and the players know that, we all know that, and you know, and we'll be ready to improve upon that. But I will say that just like last night with Bazakos, some of the stuff you saw was just like, it was this. And to your point, that incident with the goalkeeper just walked out of the box with it, you know, and hand the handball. That what really happened is that everything snowballed from there for him personally, you know. But we take accountability for ourselves as well.
That's a good point. I don't think he probably never lost a part of his brain during that entire game. So that's an interesting point.
I'm still trying to figure out how Arellano, you know, I mean, there was like three incidents, especially when he did the scissor kick on Kyoto on the sideline.
Yep.
And then he basically NFL style tackled with, you know, hogtied Ellis for the PK. And, you know, but you know, the one thing that was great last night for me, you know, there was a real energy in the stadium, you know, with that comeback. And I mean, It was a real nice energy with the fans, and there's a real, you know, real palpable feeling in the air.
100%. That was the most live wire environment we've had there in a long, long time. And I would say to any sports fan in Houston, coaches and general managers aren't going to agree because of the result and the way the game went and all those things. But at the end of the day, if you wanted entertainment, you got it last night. You got it in a lot of forms and fashions, from the theater to the bazaar to just spectacular goals to, it was there top to bottom. It was five star from an entertainment perspective, and that's very important. Now, as we talk about that, I want to talk to you about the Dynamo media policy this year. And what I want to talk about is it's obvious you guys have kind of circled the wagons. You have kept it pretty closed door this year. You don't want people at your training sessions. Tell me the thought process behind that, because it's very different than in the past.
I don't think that we don't want people at our training sessions, for obviously the training sessions are open, for the first portion of training and then the last portion of training. We're fine with that. I wouldn't say maybe that policy is a little bit different in the past, but we're definitely open to the training sessions being open. And at the end of the day, maybe that's a little bit different than the past, but we still have a lot of appreciation and respect for our local and national media, and we appreciate the coverage.
Matt Jordan joining us, Dynamo General Manager here, ahead of Minnesota. Now, you also have some other content coming through here. You got Minnesota this weekend, then the Dynamo Charities Cup against Cruz Azul. That's a good matchup with a Liga MX team. Then Tigres and Morelia plays there, and El Salvador will play Canada there. Now, are those games, as a general manager, you go and scout? I would think El Salvador and Canada, all these games would be potentials to look at players, right? Because they're in own backyard.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the wonderful thing about Houston, especially looking, last year at the Gold Cup, a lot of these friendly games, and it's a great opportunity, of course, for us as a staff and myself, pending my own personal travel schedule, but it's a great opportunity to see a lot of these players live. We're fortunate, even at the sports park, a lot of these teams come and train, and we've built good strategic relationships with a lot of these different federations and clubs. Without a doubt, it's a great opportunity to see some of these players live, and there have been players that we have, I'll look at Kyoto, for example. Kyoto is a good example. When Honduras has been here, in past years, we made a point to get out and watch training sessions, and a lot of times, even in training sessions, you see certain things that you don't see in games, and that's the beauty of our soccer market.
USL, I want to take you down to the Rio Grande Valley. That's where Wilmer was last year. Now, when Christian Lucatero was signed, we blew this guy up as the next coming. And he's not even playing down there regularly. Can you give us an update on what's kind of going on with him? Because he was positioned as one of the big talents in the future for the Houston Dynamo.
Christian has been playing. I want to say that he started three straight games and went 90 in two of those three games over the course of the last 4 to 6 weeks. I don't have the exact breakdown in front of me. So he has been playing and getting opportunities to play. And look, I think it's been a real learning opportunity for him. It's something where Junior and our staff there are working real hard with these guys. And I think the transition, for Luca has been normal for kids that age, maybe initially a little more difficult just because, the USL is a tough league. But it's been, a good opportunity for him. Our Academy Player of the Year this year, Jesse Ortiz, went down and got some time with RGV this year. Right now we got Marcelo Palomino, who was in U-17 residency program last year, who's training every day with the first team and then playing the weekends with the 19s. So that's been good. That's been good. Leo Ayala, obviously, as well. And so, It's now that the one good thing, Glenn, is, and this is something I'm very proud of, for the first time in the history of our club, this fall, we start the fall season and we're in the MLS season with a complete player development structure in place. You know, we have our MLS team, we have our USL Pro team, we started a PDL team this summer, which we really pushed a lot of our 16 and 17 year old kids to go up and get their butts kicked with the PDL. You know, obviously we've restructured our academy into three clear phases of development, and with a director at each phase, and we're making a lot of grassroots initiatives. And for me, and you know this city better than me, and you know it well, those grassroots initiatives are really important, because this is a great soccer market, and it's a hotbed. And those are, you know, we want to continue to work to get those young kids at the grassroots levels into our system as early as possible. And we've had a lot of emphasis on our youth development phase and our foundation phases at the younger age groups. So it's been, even this week, it's been great to see Palomino in training with the first team and you know, for him to be cutting his teeth. And that's been a great experience for him. Actually, I'm in my office right now. They just had their team meal, and he just came in and said, you know, thanks for having me in. And so we're chipping away, man. You know, we got a lot of work ahead of us, but we're chipping away.
So I'm looking at Lucatero's stats here. He's a 23-year-old. He's a 20-year-old. He's played in 13 games. He's played 484 minutes. He's had 5 starts and, I guess, 5 appearances. He's had 5 starts. So I guess my question to you is, when you have a kid like that that you think is a talent, is there a set amount of minutes you want him to play in a USL season when you go into it? Because I'm sure you got a plan for each one of these kids.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. It's a delicate balance. And, you know, the generations, I mean, you know, your generation and my generation, I still believe it's very important for these kids to earn everything they get. You know, and that's one thing that I'm very confident about in saying that. It's very important that these kids earn everything they get. They earn their first team contracts. They earn their way, working their way up the ladder. And I look at Memo. You know, Memo is a great example of a kid, you know, that, you know, it's unfortunate that that he picked up a knock not long ago. But you know, Memo is a kid that, you know, he has earned everything he's gotten. He's had the right attitude. You know, his work ethic is great. His willingness to learn and to be coachable has been outstanding. And I'm not surprised that Memo is doing as well as he is. And because he's got the right attitude. And it's about mentality, Glenn. It's about mentality. And, you know, Brian Ching and I talk about this all the time, you know, and Brian and I are working together right now. You know, we've started a program, with each of our academy teams. They come to a Dynamo game, and they, as a team with their coaches, they'll analyze the game, you know, from the Dynamo's perspective and from our opponent's perspective, the tactical side of the game. And then the next week, they'll present their findings in front of their team. Brian's been a huge help and a big part of that, and it's been great. And you know, and I actually saw this when I was at Sporting Lisbon in Portugal. And I remember I was there with the sporting director, and I saw these kids in the stands with these little notepads and like a little sheet of questions. And, you know, and that's just one thing that we're really trying to do to get, you know, to improve the kids' mentality and to you know, help when they do get that opportunity to make a jump, to be more prepared. The other thing, you know, is, you know, we've been working to get, you know, a speaking series in, you know, and on a once-a-month basis, get, you know, people to come in and speak to the kids about what it takes, you know, just to make it as a pro.
But don't your staff do that on a daily basis? I mean, that's the duty of your coaching staff. And how are you continuing to look to upgrade the coaching staff in the future? And are there the resources there to do that? Because that, to me, is the key. All the other stuff is great. It's all ancillary. But the bottom line is, who's working out there on a daily basis with kids? That's what's the most important thing, who are spending the time with them on field. So how about the resources with the coaching staff and all that? Because it's hard to understand all this in the league, because nobody ever reveals and is transparent about the investment in these programs. So I don't know, you know, I hear everybody saying our programs are great, but I don't really know what's going into them.
Yeah. What do you mean, like from a financial standpoint?
From a financial standpoint, I mean, I know it's significant dollars, but is Atlanta putting more in than the Dynamo six times? I mean, I don't know how that all works, but to me, the most important resource and the one that deserves the finance is the actual coaches who are there on a daily basis, because they're mentoring, they're turning these guys into great young men, as well as good footballers that are going to be equipped to handle the next level, right?
Well, let me put it in perspective. In this way, Glenn, I've been here just over 2.5 years. At the time I came here, I want to say we had 4 full-time staff. We now have 9 full-time staff in the academy, which is the most we've ever had in the history of the club. So that's important. We're investing more than we ever have into our coaching licensing, which is very important. And to your point, and look, Glenn, you're preaching to the choir here. It's nice to put PowerPoint presentations up. It's this and that. It's about execution and implementation on the field. You know, so you're preaching to the choir, and I'm continuing to challenge our staff with that as well. And the one thing I really like a lot about our first team staff. And Wilmer is that, you know, they're very committed to teaching. Because when I look, in my opinion, I look at a coach just as much as a coach, but a teacher. We also have our USL coach who has an extensive career and background in youth development as well, and teaching the game. And, you know, we're going to be a club. We have to teach. We Albert Ellis, as good of a player as he is, he still needs to be taught. He's not a finished product. you know what I mean?
So, yeah, no, I think people recognize that.
I'm pleased with the improvements we've made in the last 2.5 years since I've been here, and we will continue to push.
Yeah, and the only reason I say that is I spent 15 years in youth development in this country, and I always see all these differing programs, and a lot of times I think, okay, yeah, these make real sense. And a lot of other times I think they're saleable items. And, you know, nothing is more important than 2 things. The men that are working with these young men, that's number 1. And number 2, the competition that these young men get. And that is up to you guys. And it sounds like with 9 full-time guys now, you've made real advances in that area, because I think that's vital. The quality of the men working with these boys who are ultimately going to be men, and hopefully a few are going to slide through and be professionals, is the ultimate end game.
Yeah, no, and that's been something that, you know, I'll give credit to our ownership. You know, they've given us, you know, that support to add more of those full-time positions. And to me, that's the key, is having those positions be full-time. Because the challenge is, you know, having as many full-time positions as possible, because when you're full-time, that's your full-time position, that has your undivided attention, you know, and that's your focus, and you're building your training plan, and you're thinking about it, you know, and that for me is my goal, is to continue to push to get more, as many full-time positions as possible. And to have as much vertical integration as possible. And like I said, right now is the first time where we've had, you know, we have a complete structure in place. And, you know, it's not been easy to get to that point. And I look at, you know, the goal is, you know, you get Marcelo right now is a good example. He's 16 years old. You know, that's the age that you need to have, you know, start getting these guys around the pros. You know, that's the key. And, you know, we're very fortunate that, you know, Wilmer has an extensive background in player development, and he believes in that. And that's an important part of our model.
But nowadays, I don't think anybody's hiring a coach in MLS unless they're invested in that side of it. Matt, listen, I'm up on a hard break. This has been a great conversation. I thank you very much. It's a lot of time you spent with me tonight, and I know you're a very busy guy. It's a big one against Minnesota. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Listen, Glenn, it's always a pleasure. And, look, I appreciate that you're fair and you're balanced and that you're genuinely are invested in improving the sport in our city. You know, so, you know, there's probably times where you know, whatever opinion you throw out there, good or bad or indifferent, of me or the team or this or that, whatever, you know, but ultimately I appreciate, you know, that you genuinely want the sport to grow in the city, and we feel the same.
Very kind of you to say. And by the way, you said you apologize for cutting me off. Rest assured, I've cut you off more than you've cut me off. So you got a few more. You got a few more to go.
Yeah, all righty. Well, let's have a good evening. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you at the stadium on Saturday. That's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Good conversation there. Took us in a lot of different directions. And we even talked some youth development at the end of that one. Hey, let me get a quick read in here. Kings Court. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is the Kings Court. Go down there, say hello to Jay. I went in there after the game last night. Great butter chicken. Tremendous environment there for soccer. It's a real soccer pub. Right on Hutchins, the corner of Walker and Hutchins, right near the stadium. They show all the Dynamo games, La Liga, Premier League, Champions League, you name it, they have it. NFL Sunday Ticket as well. Kings Court, 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, and the food is awesome. You can go there pre- and post-Dynamo games, like on Saturday, and you'll have El Batallón in there. Those guys set the tone down there. It's a real good environment, a lot of fun. People were having a great time in there after the game last night. They got the rooftop deck and patio. KingsCourtTX.com. We'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Motorhead. Hey, breakfast happy hour. Liberty Kitchen. Listeners that wake up early on the weekends, you want to watch your favorite Premier League team, head over to the breakfast happy hour. It's in the Heights location. Got to make sure I got that right. Lance Fegan and company want you over there. Carl Leaves want you over there. 8 to 9:30. $7 gets you a choice of 5 entrees, orange juice, coffee, milk, $2 Bellini cocktails and Bloody Marys. It's a place to go, Liberty Kitchen, for Premier League action on the weekends. It's the Heights location of Liberty Kitchen. Also, a reminder, thank you to Azure Salon for keeping me looking sharp. All my TV work, that is the place to go. Guys, get over there to Azure Salon. Ladies, they got you covered with color, cuts, extensions. It's AzureSalon.com, A-Z-U-R, Salon.com. That's in River Oaks and in West Ave Shopping. So we come back here. Two quick hits here on Twitter where people have been hitting me up. Christopher Cox. As poorly as the Dynamo have played against teams at the bottom of the table, I just don't think they will make it. And he's talking about the playoffs. Michael Thomas says, I don't know how many touches he got last night. The Dynamo would fare well getting him more touches. That is in response to Tomas Martinez. We bring in Victor Ariza right now. Victor, you were out at the game last night. To get your thoughts in on what you saw over the course of 90 minutes, because it has been a bit bizarre.
Yeah, it wasn't all happy thoughts. I know one of the biggest things you brought up tonight is that it was such a vibrant atmosphere, and it was. But there were fans that were disappointed. There were fans that were letting their opinion heard. They weren't satisfied. That's the vibe that I also got from it. AJ Hoffman on the Blitz has one of the better sayings. He used it this Monday coming out from the Texans-Patriots game. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams find a way to lose. Now, the good thing about soccer is that there's also ties, and that benefited the Dynamo last night in being able to rescue a point. But I think it's a little bit alarming because the way they were positioned, you know, between the first and third place in the Western Conference, all they had to do was manage the season. And now they've allowed Sporting Kansas City, they've allowed Portland, they've allowed Vancouver, they've allowed FC Dallas now to jump them in the standings. And now it's worrisome in the sense of, are they going to make the playoffs?
It's now 10 draws. 10 draws, you know, that's a lot of points left on the table. I think you have to go for it more in this league on the road now. I think the days of playing for ties, it doesn't do it for you. Look, you know, look, if you take a risk and you win three of those games, it's an accumulation, or four of those games, it's more points. How did the LA Galaxy win five games on the road, quite frankly?
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest things to me. When I look at last night's game, you should have gotten away with the 3 points. I know fans were, the way the game started and developed, I know people are happy that, and it was an exciting game, but you should have beat this team. This should have been an easy 3 points. Your other rivals, the teams that are fighting to be contenders in the MLS, we're talking about Toronto, we're talking about Columbus, we're talking about New England Revolution, Portland, all these guys, they humiliated the LA Galaxy. That's what you were supposed to do, and they didn't get it done last night.
No, but it's been a rough 16 matches. Look, they've only won 3 games in 16. If we're really in reality here, it is a nerve-wracking time right now for the Dynamo. And look,
right.
The fact that people do have emotion, and that's a good thing. I mean, we need some emotion. We haven't had emotion in that stadium for so many years that we do need emotion, and it was good to see it last night. I think the table got reset once the Dynamo went down because it was, oh, woe is me at this point, and what the heck is going on? And then all of a sudden now it's, okay, if we pull a point, it's a big comeback. It's a big deal. I get it. But for me, it's 2 points left on the table. How about you?
I think it's crunch time. I think your big-time players, your Cubo Torres, your Romel Quiotos, who haven't scored that much in the last stretch of games, they need to step up. Vicente Sanchez, who you brought him in, a lot wasn't expected. Well, hey, he's the one guy showing up. Other guys have to show up, too.
All right, Victor, thank you very much. I appreciate that was like a rapid-fire session there with Victor Ariza. All right, we're going to take a break here. Thanks to the Daspit Law Firm, the Gorgeous Gale, Azure Salon, King's Court, and, of course, Liberty Kitchen, Bud Light. We thank all of you for your great support. We'll take a break. Coming back, Kobe Jones, the legendary U.S. international, with some thoughts on the Dynamo and L.A. So why should it be? You and
I should get along so awfully. Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Wrap it up tonight here. Before we do, quick word here for Bud Light. They want to remind you that they are the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you to listen in, call in, and engage in the global game weekly on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. They also remind you of all the international competition and live soccer matches coming our way down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we go to our guest, courtesy of Bud Light. He is former U.S. international, storied career. He is Kobe Jones. He joins us now. Kobe, thanks very much for coming on tonight.
Nah, Glenn, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, you and me had the privilege on two different broadcasts to call what was a pretty crazy game at BBVA Compass Stadium last night, a 3-3 draw. Certainly the entertainment value was up, but I just wanted to get some of your initial impressions on that 90 minutes of soccer.
Well, look, if you take it in total as a 90 minutes, you know, it's not the best as from a coach's perspective for both teams. But when you look at it for the fans' perspective, it was pure entertainment. It had everything. You know, from the first half, you didn't think it could get any crazier than what we saw with goalkeepers walking out of the box with the ball. You know, yellow cards not given, possible red card not given, goals everywhere. And then the second half just got just as crazy. You know, so it was entertaining for every fan. I think everybody that was there, that was live, everybody that was watching on TV, you know, got their money's worth, so to speak, because it was pure unadulterated entertainment and for any true soccer fan.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because when I left the stadium, because, you know, it's been kind of down here in Houston over a number of years now. And everybody that came up to me talking about the game, nobody mentioned the fact that the Dynamo dropped two very important points. All they talked about was the comeback in the final 10 minutes and the excitement that it brought.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me. It was a exciting game throughout. You know, it got a little bit chippy. You know, it had the comeback. It had some, you know, some interesting moments. You know, cards could have been shown everywhere. You know, little scuffles here and there, some brilliant play at times and some sloppy play at times, you know, all the way around. So it had you, you know, going in waves from extreme highs to extreme lows, you know, so that being said, was it the best soccer, you know, that we've seen, Glenn? No, of course not. You know, you'd like to sturdy things up, I think, on both sides. But for the fan, you know, that it's a great game that people will be talking about for quite some time.
Yeah, and mistakes are sometimes what makes the game interesting, not to coaches, but certainly to fans and commentators. I mean, from a standpoint of being a commentator and looking at it purely like that, it was a fun game to call because it was so unpredictable, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, from bringing up in that broadcast booth and looking down, I mean, there was literally something happening every 2 minutes. And not just like, okay, a good pass. It was something that we haven't seen, you know, quite some time. Something that could change the flow of the game happened like every 2-3 minutes. So, yeah, it just kept the game going and it made it exciting. You know, I was talking to my broadcast partner, you know, Joe Tutino up there in the booth, just going, wow, when it was the 30th minute, I was like, really? It's been just 30 minutes? It feels like we've gone a full game with everything that's happened, you know, so far. So, yeah, it was definitely a fun game to watch and a fun game to call.
So how was Joe? Was Joe perplexed at times with what was going on down there? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were trying to figure it all out. Just as confused as some of the players were, you know, down with the referee, you know. I mean, we were confused up top with the conversations that were going on, reading the mouths of players to see, like, you know, what was happening. You know, it was a very interesting match, you know, throughout. And I'm sure everybody was there. Like you said, you know, they're probably still talking about it today.
Kobe Jones joining us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so you know what? One of the things that stood out to me is in that game, there are – let's throw the LA Galaxy record out. Let's throw the Dynamo record out. But here you got Alessandrini, you got Gio De Santos, you got Tomas Martinez emerging, you got Albert Elise. You know, you got all these individuals that can do things on their own. And I look at your career and I remember you as, you know, just so much pace and – taking people on and pushing people back and, you know, off the dribble. And these are the guys that I love watching. So any of those guys really stick out to you in this game that you liked last night?
Well, last night, I believe it was what, Martinez came in? Yeah. What minute? Do you even remember?
Oh, no. He started the game, Tomas Martinez. He had the goal in the 26th minute. His first ever goal for the Dynamo.
I thought he was really good. I apologize. Yeah, Martinez was really good because I liked his runs out of the midfield coming from a deeper position. Mm-hmm. He missed the sitter though, you know.
Yeah, the header, right?
he missed the header right on the, you know, the top of the six. Whoa. But I was talking about how he as the Dynamo slowly started getting more of the game, it was because he started making those runs to join in the attack. And when he did that, all of a sudden, you know, they started getting chances. You know, Dynamo started getting more and more opportunities. And we saw it, you know, one or two times. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, he finds the back of the net. You know, and that being said, you said it by the players that you mentioned. I think on the team, on both teams actually, there's a lot of skilled individuals. I think they're both sides are having issues working together as a team. You know, that seems to be the big problem because – when I look at the Dynamo and the attacking three up top, you know, you got Albert Elise and Kyoto. I mean, those two guys had like four or five chances in the first few minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And they had probably even better opportunities to lay the ball off to their teammate, but elected to take it themselves, you know, and that was the big issue, you know. But, you know, a lot of talent, a lot of exciting players, but the team aspect is the issue for both sides.
So you're saying those two guys, they could have made some better choices in the final third?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I wouldn't be surprised if those two, when you talk about Kyoto and, pardon me, and Elise, if they're not, you know, didn't have some words, you know, at some point during the game, because I remember seeing, I think it might have been Kyoto that was upset that the ball wasn't just, you know, laid right across the face of the box where he was wide open, you know, standing inside the six.
Correct.
You know, so those things, you know, they happen. They happen throughout about the game, and it's about how you handle it in the locker room that can really determine the future of your team.
So let me take you to Albert Elise Kobe, because, you know, the guy's only 21 years old. He's on loan from Monterey. I really hope he stays here, because you saw his celebration. He's got this whole Panther celebration, and it is really cool. I see him as a guy that could be marketed and built into a star here with all the Hondurans here. What is it you like about his game? I mean, this guy obviously has sure athletic ability, but there just seems to be a lot of upside to this kid.
Yeah, that's the thing. He says he's young, right? So he's still learning the game. He has, like you said, he has pace, but what I like is his spatial awareness. He has an understanding of how close he needs to be to a player when he's taking the player on. He understands how to draw a player in to lunge, a defender to lunge at the ball, but he's got the quickness enough to tap it out of the way and then to dance around, you know, that player. Those are some of the things. Look, we can always talk about, you know, he's a great shooter, you know, he's a good header, you know that. But these are the little things that you notice about a player that takes him beyond, you know, what the average person sees and can take him to the next level.
So the Galaxy, what's next for them? Because I've heard Landon Donovan on a broadcast talking about the Galaxy, and, you know, where do you think it's going from here? Obviously, I guess there's a lot of change looming in the future. There are some really good pieces here. Obviously, there's some very good soccer players. There's some that probably aren't going to make the cut next year. But how do you see it moving forward in Los Angeles, especially with LAFC coming to town and obviously rolling out all the pomp and circumstances and all the flash?
Well, that's where the pressure comes, right?
Yeah,
so that's where
that's a good thing, though, right?
Yeah, it's a very good thing, and where the Galaxy is, look, we are, you know, a lot of people will go no, but Galaxy is kind of like the symbol, the pinnacle of this league, you know, where, you know, first to five, all that type of stuff, and they have to be a good team. You know, yes, you can have the down year or so like that, but there's the expectation that the Galaxies are going to be a top team. So I expect, you know, along with all the changes as that you mentioned, then I believe there will be quite a few changes, that there will have to be some type of big splash as well. They will probably go out and get, I would imagine, some type of big name striker and a big defender. You know, there's also talk of a possible goalkeeper as well, you know, to give a little bit of oomph to push back against that LAFC addition that's going to be coming in next year, because, you know, all the pomp and circumstance that they're going to be throwing out with a new stadium, all these star players. So you have to come with something, a little bit of panache that is deserving of, you know, the LA Galaxy organization.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. It's kind of our, not on relative terms, but it's kind of our Manchester United, Manchester City, right? Hiring the two big managers and all the things that go back and forth between United and City. So I think it's exciting. Last thing before I let you go, let's switch gears to the United States national team. Next Friday is going to take on Panama, huge World Cup qualifier. Any initial thoughts on that one? Because we remember down in Panama City, they drew 1-1. Panama's a difficult team, and a team that has some guys that truly, I think, are, you know, kind of warriors, you know, just guys that are trying to make their mark.
Yeah, I would say, look, this is what I have to say. They better win. That's what it comes down to,
exactly.
Right? He better win. I mean, I know there was a lot of talk about what Alexi said, and maybe he didn't say it the right way, but it's the truth. You got to win now. There's two games left, and you're not out, but you're in a precarious position here. You're in fourth place. You don't want to go into, you know, where you have to get a result in the last game, or you have to, you know, win, you know, the home and away for the fourth place position. You know, so it is pertinent that they win this match, that they get 3 points. You're at home. You're playing against a team that you can beat, that you should beat. So they have to go out and get 3 points. There's no excuses, you know, after this. And that being said, I think it is a team that can do it. You know, I mean, it's on home soil, so I think that's a big advantage. I think some of the some of the big issue has been, you know, players not understanding that, you know, this is CONCACAF. You know, not everything's going to be, you know, just going nice and smooth in the way you want it. And when we talk about home field advantage, people definitely take care of that home field advantage in a variety of different ways. And thankfully, you're playing at your home in the United States in this first game against Panama, so you need to pick up 3 points to put yourself in a much better position than you are right now.
All right. Through your career, you've been through these situations so many times. You know, when your back is a little bit against the wall and the pressure is compounding and getting bigger and getting greater, what are the biggest things you lean on as a player in these situations?
I think it's consistency. I think that's the most important thing is just doing what you do best continuously, not trying all these crazy different things. And I think that's one thing that Bruce will kind of instill in the players leading up to that match. You know, I don't think we'll see a ton of different changes from the last game. I think he's going to want to kind of just have it smooth and playing the exact same way. So there's an understanding of who's going to be playing ahead of time. There's an understanding for the players where they're going to be playing on the field, that there's not going to be, you know, players playing in different positions that they're not used to. And we'll have pretty much the same makeup of players going in. So there's that familiarity between the guys that gets that bonding going. So that translates from everything from off the field to on the field. You know, all those things, they're important for a team to get better and better and be successful and battle when needed, because against this Panama team, it's going to be a battle. You know, they're not just going to roll over. They're going to be giving everything they got.
Kobe Jones joining us. Last question before I let you go, and this is an LA Galaxy member, Sebastian Legette, we remember, got hurt with the U.S. national team, and he was just getting his opportunity there. It was real sad for him. Obviously, he was a big piece of the LA Galaxy. Do you know much about his rehabilitation and how he's doing, and if he's on the right track to recovery?
Yeah, I think he is. The last I saw, he was back out on the field. You know, I and by that I mean he was out just kind of doing a little bit of I believe it was a slight jog, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. So I think he's on that road to recovery. And I think that was a horrible injury, you know, but hopefully, you know, we like this guy, right?
Absolutely.
He's got a personality, you know, he's got some skills, and like you said, he was just breaking into the national team, so I'd love to see him get back and get healthy, and, you know, not only for his sake, but also for the national team's sake, because I think he's got a good personality for that squad that helps lift the team.
Well, Kobe, thank you, as always, for all your insight. We appreciate it. Great way to end the show tonight here with you coming on, and listen, until I see you next time, thanks for coming on the program again.
No problem. Take care.
All right. This is Kobe Jones. Man, what a career for the U.S. national team, the L.A. Galaxy. And got some good stuff out of Kobe here to end it tonight. That'll do it. We remind you, Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Soc, podcasts at podcastarena.com, and on iTunes. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, and all of you who called in tonight and listened in, thank you very much. And until next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.